banjo and a tow on the oar. I'd sing to the sound of the river's soft roar, while the stars they looked down on my Julia so true, and dance in her eyes my country blue. Singing, oh, where, oh, or the water's so blue, like a feather we'll float in our gum tree canoe. Singing, oh, where, oh, or the water's so
blue. It's the middle of winter here in northern Minnesota, and paddling may be the furthest thing from our minds right now. On Valentine's Day, our thoughts wander towards love and romance. In the age of smartphones and online dating, there was a simpler time in our not-too-distant past when a wooden canoe was all that was needed to ignite the sparks of love. A simple two-seat conveyance, it's nearly perfectly designed for the task. I'm Jim Gallagher, and today on this Valentine's Day edition of Paddle Minnesota, I talk with canoe historian and journalism professor Mark Neusel about the role the canoe once played for bringing couples together.
Well, I know the listeners of KAXE are mature for the most part, so they can. This content doesn't really need a warning, I assume. But prior to the establishment of the automobile in American culture, in between the days of the horse and buggy, the carriage, and the automobile, there were really very few places for young couples to go to enjoy some privacy. One of the places that they could do that outside was in a canoe. Because they were inexpensive or even cheap to rent, you could go on the Charles River, you could go on the Mississippi, you could go at Belle Isle in Detroit to canoe livery, you know, with your girl on a Sunday afternoon and pay a dollar and rent a canoe and have some alone time. And that, of course, became more intimate or less intimate depending on the couple. And canoe makers were fully aware of what their boats were being used for. So we had a brief period of time in American history where courting canoes were built. And these were canoes where the lady would sit in the front seat and face the stern and gaze into her boyfriend's eyes as he paddled away. And the most fancy of the courting canoes had a Victrola built into the bilge so they could play music as they paddled. And the whole phenomena, which eventually maybe or maybe not engaged in some physical activity, became known as canoodling. And in many cities, it became illegal. And so you got fined. In Boston, for example, if you kissed a woman in a canoe, you got fined $20, which was not an insignificant amount of money in 1920.
Yeah, a canoe cost about 30 of that at that time,
right,
didn't it?
Right. So we guessed that millions of dollars worth of kisses were exchanged on the rivers of America in this time period. But of course, what happens is cars come along with hardtop roofs and back seats, and the car becomes really the form of expression for couples to have some privacy rather than the canoe, and it's probably a little less tippy.